with me this evening as we turn to the book of Psalms again, 119. We'll be reading from verse 41 through verse 48. And here we see in this section an asking, petitioning the Lord for courage to be a witness and the great need of his soul, and promises in this section to be obedient to the Lord. Begin reading in verse 41. This is our sixth section in this particular chapter. We see here in verse 41, he said, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word. So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word. And take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. So shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed. And I will delight myself in thy commandments, which I have loved. And my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes." Again, Lord, we thank you for this chapter and this book. Lord, we thank you for your word this evening. God, we pray tonight that we would take comfort in thy word as the psalmist. Lord, as we come here this evening, we pray the Lord that you speak to our hearts. Lord, as we come together to kneel tonight and pray, we pray, Lord, that you hear our petitions as we bring them before you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for giving us this good week that you've given to us, that given us health and labor. Dear God, we ask now tonight for your anointing and blessing upon the reading of thy word, for it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. He begins in verse 41, and he said, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Now, there's a number of times in the Scriptures that God speaks of mercy. In Psalms 103, verses 1 through 8, the Bible speaks of the benefits of the Lord. And God in mercy brings perfect righteousness and salvation to the sinner. Mercy means pity. It means compassion. And we read about the mercy seat in the Bible. And Jesus Christ, of course, has become our mercy seat. And a few verses that we'll not turn to these, but in Proverbs 16 and verse 6, the Bible speaks of mercy and salvation. Luke 18 and verse 13, the publican, as he prayed, he said, "Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner." Psalms 23 and verse 6, the great psalm that we all love. Verse 6 says, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." And then Jonah, he cried out in Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and he cried out for mercy, and God saved him and delivered him, lifted him up, and used him again as he had used him before. He says in verse 41, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." As we've said before, in every verse, just about every verse, maybe with the exception of one, the emphasis is placed upon God's holy word, the Scripture, His precepts, His judgments, His testimonies, His statutes. And so He says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." And then we see in verse 42, He knows his need to be garrisoned, to be surrounded by God's word. Now in verse 42, he says, "So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word." In verse 42, he begins, we said, "So." In other words, he's saying, "Let thy mercies," verse 41, "come also unto me, and even thy salvation according to thy word," verse 42, "so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me, for I trust in thy word. God's mercy, according to his word, these two verses show us, furnish us with an answer to the reproaches of even our enemies. And a good passage on this will be in 1 Peter. I'm going to be reading in 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll take one verse, I think. Read several, but we'll take one verse. And that's going to be in verse 15. Again, God's mercy furnishes us with answers. You'll notice with me in verse 15. You know, I've thought about over the years, and you think about, I think about some of our spiritual forefathers, the Baptists and Anabaptists, and that doesn't mean that they're the only ones that were right. But, you know, if you consider in Catholicism, their authority, and still is today, was the Scripture and the Church, and maybe other things, but the Scriptures and the Church. And even the Reformers, they talked about Scripture only. And that wasn't always true. And one of the great documents that's been drawn up, a confession of faith, in the first, I think it's first page or first part of that, you see that basically Scripture is not the only authority. There's possibilities of other authorities. Many times we bring philosophy and human reasoning into our concept of Scripture. But many of our spiritual forefathers literally took the Bible for what and allowed it to be the final authority. And I appreciate that there are those that remnant of people over the years that Scriptures only. And so the writer is saying that he trusts in the Word of God. And he's saying in these verses that as he trusts in the Word of God, that he might have an answer from God's Word, God's mercies. Well, you'll notice with me that as we come to 1 Peter, and reading in chapter 3 and verse 15, he says in verse 15, he said, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to everyone that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now, that doesn't mean that you have every answer. And if somebody asks you a question you don't know, tell them you don't know. I've learned to do that many years ago. And I've learned to just say, "I don't know, but I'll try to find out if I can. Can't find out, I'll let you know that I don't know, and I probably will never know." But anyway, but the thing about it is, he said, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts." That is to give Him His rightful place. And He says, "And be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." Now coming back to Psalms chapter 119, and there's a number of other passages, by the way. Let me give you this one. I'll just give you this and write it down. Matthew 4, I'm going to give you three verses, because there's three times that the Lord was tempted. That'll be in verse 4, verse 7, and in verse 10. And every time the Lord Jesus Christ answered His enemy. Got to understand the Savior's answer which defeated His enemy in the wilderness. You know the story there. The Lord Jesus never talked about philosophy and human reasoning and all these kind of things. He just says, the book says this, the Scriptures, God says this. And he gives him the Scriptures. That's the final authority. And that is the answer. Colossians 4:3, the Apostle Paul said, "Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how to answer every man." And then in Proverbs 26, verses 4, 5, and 6, tells us that there's a time to give an answer and there's a time not to give an answer. So you can read that and look at it. Now, Satan brings persecution to try to shut our mouth. That's in 2 Corinthians 4, verses 7 through 11. Now notice what he said. He said in verse 41, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation, according to thy word, so shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproaches me. He said, for I trust in thy word. Those who trust in the word of God find power in the word of God and usually have an answer for the reason that they do the things that they do or what they believe. He said, give an answer for the hope that lieth within us. So, usually we know why we're doing what we're doing. I mean, somebody asks you, why do you believe in the atonement of Christ? Why do you believe in being here in church this evening? You've got Scripture. And you say, well, God tells us that we're to assemble together. And He tells us that Christ died for our sins, you know, at Calvary. We usually could give the reason why, or should be able, that we believe what we believe. Now, in verse 43... here we find the psalmist, he prays that God would never find it necessary to silence his lips because of sin or whatever reason. And he said in verse 43, he said, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth, for I have hoped in thy judgments. And so the God is the author of hope. And you can write down Psalms 130. And that'll be verses 5 through 7. He says, I wait for the Lord. My soul doth wait, and in His word do I hope. My soul waiteth for the Lord more than they that watch for the morning. I say more than they that watch for the morning. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with Him is plenteous redemption. So our hope is in the Lord. And he says here in verse 43, he says, and take not the word of truth utterly out of my mouth. And he said, for I have hoped in thy judgments. Notice in verse 44, he says, so shall I keep thy law continually, forever and ever. Now there's a verse that comes to mind. In Romans 11, we were looking at this, talking about the goodness and severity of God in that passage. What I'm going to do, I'm going to give you a couple of verses, and I'm going to wait till probably Sunday night. I think we're going to look at a few of these. But this verse is talking about perseverance, keeping our hearts in the faith. Because he says here in verse 44 again, so, notice every verse is connected together, so shall I keep thy law continually. John 8:31 talks about continuing. You're my disciples indeed if you continue. Colossians chapter 1 verse 23. The Apostle Paul talks about the redemption that we have in Jesus Christ. And he talks about reconciliation and Christ's blood. And he said, talking about their being reconciled to God, being saved, he said, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Romans 2, verses 6 and 7 bear this same truth out. What do I see in this passage? I see perseverance, keeping our hearts in the faith. In verse 44, he says, so shall I keep thy law continually forever and ever. And then in verse 45, he says, and I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts. Again, John 8, verses 31 through 36, when we talk about the subject of liberty and freedom, he says that Christ Jesus said, he shall make you free. And there's a number of passages that deal with this. So the psalmist saw God's law as the perfect law of liberty. As the perfect law. And it's called that, by the way, in the New Testament. And he says here, I will walk, notice, at liberty. Now let me go through a few passages to give to you. Romans or John 8, I just mentioned that, verse 31 through 36. The liberty here has to do with the gospel liberty, the calmness and the composed mind that we would have in Christ Jesus. God's Word in the Geneva Bible notes, and this is only half of the sentence, but it says God's Word has no nets to entangle them. those that put their trust in God's Word. There's no nets to entangle. A man's sins are like chains and shackles, which makes it impossible for him to walk on the straight and narrow way that leads to eternal life. Sin is, again, it's like weights us down. It's like chains and shackles. So there's a number of passages. Romans 8:1. There is no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians 5:1 talks about this liberty. Stand fast in the liberty. James 1:25 talks about the perfect law of liberty. James 2 and verse 12. And again, there's just a number of passages in the New Testament. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, if you're taking notes this evening, verse 17, says, "Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." And then in Romans, I'm going to give you one other passage. Romans 6, verses 14, verses 18, and verse 22. Now, why do I give you all these passages in dealing with the subject of liberty? Well, there are those that think that, you know, when you come to the Scriptures, that this is bondage and so forth, and they absolutely look at it totally the opposite of the way God has written His Word. Give you an example. I'm going to read in Romans 6. I'm going to read those three verses I gave you. Now, I want you to listen as I read them. See, we put up fences sometimes to, or most of the time, to protect our animals, do we not? Or even our children sometimes, if you live near a busy highway or something of that nature. And it is not to hinder them. God's Word is not given for bondage or anything of that nature. And so we're talking about here the Spirit of holiness. And we're talking about freedom and liberty that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ to serve Him. Romans 6:14 says this, "For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you're not under the law, but under grace." Verse 18 says, Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And in verse 22, he says, "But now, being made free from sin and become servants to God, you have your fruit unto holiness, and the end, everlasting life." So when he says here in verse 45, "And I will walk at liberty, for I seek thy precepts." Again, he's talking about I can walk free of the bondage and the chains and the shackles of sin that weights me down. I can be on that straight and narrow path in seeking the Lord and His will. Verse 45, he said, "I will walk at liberty, for I will seek thy precepts." Verse 46. He says here in verse 46, he said, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings, and will not be ashamed." Two things I want to point out in this passage. First of all, the writer is talking about God's Word, walking in liberty, trusting in the Word, resting in the mercies of God, and I'm backing up and linking these verses together. And in verse 46, he said, "I will speak of thy testimonies before kings and will not be ashamed." Let me take the latter part of that. First of all, he said, "I will not be ashamed." Write down Proverbs chapter 28 and in verse 1. Talks about the boldness of those who know the Lord. Said, "The wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion." And he said, "I'll not be ashamed of the Word of God." And we should never be ashamed of God's Word or God's people. And then he says in this passage, he said, "I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings." Let me ask you to turn with me to Matthew 10, and I'm going to give you three other passages. Notice in the book of Matthew, I'm going to be reading in chapter 10, he's talking about not being ashamed. And he's talking about the fact that the author says, that I can speak before kings. Well, notice in Matthew 10. Now, the other passages that I'd give you here would be Acts 26, 27 through 29. Paul stood before King Agrippa and spoke and was not ashamed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Agrippa even made this statement about almost becoming a Christian. And Paul said, I wish you would. And I'm putting that in my own words. And he said, I wished it was more than almost. Because almost don't get it. You can say, I almost made it to church tonight. What does that mean? That means you didn't make it. You know, you say, well, I almost got out of bed this morning and went to work. Well, that means you didn't make it. And then in Acts 4, verses 19 through 20, the apostles stood before magistrates and kings. And then in 1 Timothy 6:13, Jesus Himself stood before Pilate. Now notice what the Lord Jesus told His disciples in Matthew 10. I'm going to be reading two verses from this chapter, and He's talking about, well, let's just begin in verse 16. We'll pick up there. He said, Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to the councils. Notice verse 18, And you shall be brought before governors and kings for my sake and for a testimony. Now, there's that word, for a testimony against them and the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, which shall be given you in that same hour what you shall speak. I have learned that if you walk for the Lord, if you seek His will, and you study His Word, I'm not talking about having to study His Word 10 hours a day or anything like that, but you just seek the Lord, you walk in His will, you keep the world and the flesh out, is that when you do come into circumstances and situations, that God will give you the words to speak when you need them. He'll give you the words to speak. And we had a situation last week, in dealing on the street there, in the ministry there in Mobile. And there's an individual, a friend of mine was talking with them. They got very, very angry. And so anyway, I stepped into the conversation, and within 5 minutes, the individual had tears running down their eyes, apologizing and repenting, and hugged the person that they were debating with. And because I wouldn't step into their arena of debates and arguments, I stayed with God's Word and Scripture, and instead of getting into this logic and reasoning and all this kind of stuff. And then this individual got in the automobile and left that abortion clinic just like that right there. And God will give you the words that you need if we'll keep human reasoning out of this and keep all of this other junk out. Just simply the truths of God's Word. Now, you'll notice as we come back here and to the book of Psalms, verse 46 again. By the way, Moses stood before Pharaoh. John the Baptist stood before Herod. And we must never be afraid to own our religion. Never be afraid of that. Proverbs 29:25 says that the fear of man bringeth a snare. And Mark 8 and verse 38, the Lord Jesus says, Don't be ashamed of me, and I won't be ashamed of you. And so we find here, and by the way, they are those that are ashamed of the Lord in certain circumstances. Now we hear church, man, we sing and we'd pray and we'd talk about the Lord. But there's other circumstances where there's people kind of want to hide their Bible and don't want, they're kind of ashamed of that. I've even had church members over the years that say, oh, we love our pastor and whatever, but in certain circumstances, they didn't really want people to know that I was their pastor. Because they're afraid I might say something about the Lord, or might be a family member or somebody else. My wife and I have watched that a number of times, over the years. And you'll notice with me that he says here in verse 46, I will speak of thy testimonies also before kings and will not be ashamed. Never be ashamed. Now, we don't want to be smart alecks and we don't or anything, but we should never be ashamed. Christ should be the center of all of our activities. If we're somewhere where we're ashamed of Christ, then the chances are we have no business being there, amen, if He's not the center of all of our activities. Now, two more verses, and you'll notice with me in verse 47. Again, we see the word delight, as in verse 16, as in Psalms 37:4. How many of you have that to memory? Delight thyself in the Lord, What is it? He shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Did I get that thing close? And then Romans 7:22, the Apostle Paul says, I delight in the law of God after the inward man. Well, there's not many in the time in which we live that takes pleasure in God's Word. Now they take pleasure in magazines and stories and novels and newspapers and on. But there's not that many that really take pleasure in God's Word. And He says in verse 47, I will delight myself in thy commandments which I have loved. In other words, hold them in high esteem. And it says, I will delight myself in them. The things that we delight in most, we think about the most. You know, I know that Proverbs 23:7. So as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now the last verse in verse 48, I want you to notice with me in verse 48. And I'm not going to turn anywhere, but I'm going to give you some references on this. And he said in verse 48, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate in thy statutes. 1 Timothy 2:8, talking about lifting of hands. Hands are here raised to grasp or to get a hold of the Word of God. Lifting of the hands is symbolic of holy desires and thirst for God's Word or for His presence. 1 Timothy 2:8, he said, I will that all men, you know, be lifting up with holy hands without wrath and without doubting. Talking about in our worship. Hebrews 12, verses 11 and 12, talks about lifting up holy hands. Now, three things about lifting up holy hands. First of all, it represents earnest prayer in Psalms 28:2. Represents earnest prayer. When we lift up holy hands, it has the idea of earnest prayer, getting serious with the Lord. It also expresses blessings toward God and man, as in Psalms 63 and verse 4. In number 3, lifting hands is associated with making a promise or a vow, as in Genesis 14 and verse 22, when Abraham spoke to the king of Sodom. Well, notice he says here in this passage, as we come to a close, he said, my hands also will I lift up unto thy commandments, which I have loved, and I will meditate. There's that word again. And you can write down Psalms 104, verse 34. Notice he said, I'm going to lift up my hands. Again, symbolic of our holy desires. Symbolic of our thirst and our hunger for the things of God. And he says here, I'm going to lift up hands unto thy commandments. And he said, notice which I have loved. When author says, piety looks on Christ as lawgiver as well as Savior. In other words, He's our Lord and our Master. Monday night, that's what I preached on at the Mission of Hope, is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. I don't know what other preachers do when they go to these places and preach, but I preached on the Lordship of Jesus Christ. He's our Lord and He is our Master. And he says here, and which I have loved, and then he closes this section, and he says, I will meditate in thy statutes. So, again, we see the importance of the testimonies, not being shamed, loving God's Word, lifting His Word up in high esteem, meditating upon His Word, thinking about His Word. These wonderful passages that we have here. And we're going to stop right here.